Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up.
Today I wanted to lift our imaginations a little bit, and I wanted to lift our imaginations into an idea that's probably very familiar to a lot of us, but for some of us this might be on the horizon, maybe new to our thinking, especially for some of the younger believers. And I wanted us to move our attentions kind of out of our little microspheres, you know. I don't know if you guys are like me, but there's times when I get so kind of consumed with what's right in front of my face that I have a hard time kind of lifting my eyes up and looking at the broader, bigger story of what God's doing and what He might want to invite me into. So let me ask, how many of you, I'm gonna riff here for a second. How many of you have ever been on foreign soil specifically for the purpose of doing ministry? Like you've been in a short-term or even a long-term ministry opportunity. Okay, look around. There's several of you. How many of you in that context have ever felt, maybe you've never even been out of the United States, but you have felt that God was going to call you to a foreign land sometime in your life to do work, ministry work, okay? Several of you, okay? There's no specifics on that. That could be for a week. That could be for a few decades. But we have this in us, and there's something of the Lord that prompts us. And part of that, I would say, I know for me growing up, part of that was the culture that I was in, the church culture that I was in. If you were going to be in ministry of any sort, you were probably either going to be a pastor or a missionary, right? So in that culture, there was a limited perspective on what it really meant to be in ministry. And what I've learned since then is that ministry expands out. The opportunities for ministry expand out. And I would say one of the prime, harvest fields is actually in the marketplace right now. And I would say that business owners and people who work in business, whether that's, there's a whole myriad of business opportunities, but also in the service industries and not simply like restaurants and so forth, but those who serve others, caregivers, I would say that, man alive, that is like ripe. All of that is just prime for people who understand their identity in God to agree with and begin to lean into and begin to imagine their life really on point with the purposes of God and I'll just say in the ministry of reconciliation. Let's just say that. Because, you know, ministry, like last week we heard from Cody, and Cody's an illustrator and he's using his gift as an illustrator. Now he could be, you know, designing logos and websites and all sorts of other stuff for people, making a lot more money than he's making now, which, oh, by the way, he doesn't actually earn a salary doing that. He lives by faith. And they were very, quiet about that, but I'll just say it loudly. I mean, they rely on the gifts that come to them through people. And they rely on that support to actually live. And that's a reality that a lot of us, you know, we've never touched. We've never had to do that. We've never lived that lifestyle. And for some of us who raised our hands saying, I imagine that at some point, God is going to call me out of the United States. I'm going to be on foreign soil. And I'm going to be working in the ministry of reconciliation. Because like I said, the ministry of reconciliation covers it all. And it can be expressed in 100 different ways, 1,000 different ways. whether it's illustration or dance or arts or preaching, evangelism, church planting, whatever, you know, expression, it can all be a part of that. So today, lifting our imaginations to the much larger story, you know, your life on purpose, that sort of thing, a life of being a representative, an ambassador, really, of God's kingdom on this earth as it is in heaven, sort of thing. And to start with, I want to bring us back to a verse that I shared a couple of weeks ago. It's Jeremiah 29:7. You thought I was going to say 11, because we all memorized that one, about the good plans that he has for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us a hope and a future. But what we forget is, like, the verses before that, he promises that they're going to go into exile for 70 years, which is about the average lifespan here. And some of us feel like, okay, I'm in this world, but I don't feel like I'm a part of this world. I feel like, we'll get to that in a minute. And so this can connect with your life. This can connect with my life, because while we're in that place of exile and we're awaiting the fullness of God's beautiful, perfect plans where he's going to prosper us and not harm us and all that kind of fun stuff, we're in the mix right now of living in a place, of living in a time, living in a city, in a neighborhood that God has actually put you in. For some who are listening to this, because I know some listen to this in Malaysia, some listen to this in Burma, some listen to this other places around the world, this applies to you. God has put you there. And so as we remember Jeremiah 29:7, the Lord tells us this: work for the peace and the prosperity of the city where I send you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for that city, for that place, for its welfare, because its welfare will determine your welfare. So regardless of where you're at right now and what you're doing, where your occupation has you, where your ministry focus, where your life on purpose has you, this applies, because every single one of us are called to work for the peace and the prosperity of that city. And we're to pray for it. And so the welfare of that city is your welfare. So as we lift our imaginations, let's start by imagining the people who live near you. Let's start to imagine the people who work with you, who go to school with you. Those are the people. And let's begin now to lift out of our own microsphere and start to imagine. I have neighbors. I have people that I, you know, see, but I don't really know. I am invited into different groups or different opportunities, and I don't know how to connect with that. Well, if it's working towards the peace of this city, if it's working towards the prosperity of the city, and if you can pray for this city, wherever you're at, whatever city that is, then you're on point. You're on point. So, for example, as a side note, my dear neighbors, Rick and Nikki, the Hendersons, it looks as though they're going to be moving. I don't know if that's public knowledge. I just made it public. Sorry. And it looks as though they're going to be moving to Florida, and their house is under contract. There's a good chance that they'll be moving within the month or so, around Thanksgiving. And so whatever city and whatever place God sends you and your family, this applies. Just as you have been equally purposeful and working towards the peace and the prosperity of this region through your presence in our neighborhood, through your presence in ministry and life here at this fellowship, in some very practical ways of serving on Sunday mornings with the sound tech and all that kind of fun stuff, and taking us through teachings about prayer last year, and all of the ways that you have been leaning into this, you've been doing it, Rick. And I just want to thank you and honor you for that. And as we're sorrowful that you're leaving, And yet, as we pray for you in this transition, our prayer is that the Lord would lead you specifically, and I know He will. So probably the prayer is that you would have ears to hear exactly where He wants you, the exact house He wants you to be in when you do move. All right. So I want to talk about the bridge between some of Jesus' teachings. We looked at that a couple weeks ago. I'll let you listen to that podcast. You know that teaching where Jesus teaches us to love our enemies, to do good, to give without expectation of anything in return, to pray for those who mistreat you? That's working for the peace and the prosperity of the city where you're at. It's one and the same, in my opinion. And in this, you're behaving like true sons and daughters, right? You're behaving like the light of the world because the Father is kind and merciful to those who even act out in their pain and in their suffering. He's kind and merciful to those who are inflicted by the influence of evil and they act out. So He is kind to people like He was kind to us, right? When we were misguided and we were finding our lives in the muck and the mire, and in His mercy and His grace, He took us from that and He planted us on the firm, solid ground of Christ. So He is kind. And so as ambassadors, we too, you know, we want to express the kindness and the love of God. And I believe that's working for the peace and the prosperity of the city. So as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, we have to remember that we're more than exiles, right? I mean, in Christ, we're actually ambassadors. And so, and we're more than even ambassadors. Like, ambassador has like a stamp of like duty, like this is your job. But it is born out of a deeper place. So this is Ephesians. I believe it's, I can't remember what chapter it is, but let me just go ahead and read it. You're no longer strangers or aliens, exiles on this earth. No, you are fellow citizens with all the saints. You are of God's household, Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom you also are built up together as a dwelling place of God by His Holy Spirit. And so we're family, and we're built together, and from that place we have an assignment and a way to live that extends beyond our own immediate little sphere, okay? So there it is. I want to revisit a challenge I gave to you a couple weeks ago, because the big question then is, like, how do we do this? Like, what are some very practical ways that we can be working towards the peace of our city? And my challenge was that you would prayerfully consider over the next few weeks who it is in your sphere that is maybe distant from you. Who it is in your sphere that's probably very different than you. Maybe very, very different than you. I mean, to the point where if you have strong political views that are right and you recognize that they are very left, like, could you actually engage them in a way that's non-confrontational? What about even sexual orientation and so forth? I had a first happen Friday night when I was at the CC hockey game. I had someone who was trans in line with me going to the bathroom. I've never had that before. It was very fascinating. So if I am, like, obviously straight, could I engage with someone who is queer? And that's not a derogatory term, by the way. That's actually a term that is preferred by those who are queer. And so if you profess a strong faith in Christ Jesus and have a supernatural worldview, what if the Holy Spirit were to bring to your heart someone who would identify as an atheist, perhaps even anti-Christ? Like, if we're going to take the teachings of Jesus to actually love people who are different than us, maybe even our enemies, politically, socially, culturally, religiously, whatever it is, spiritually, then I have a strong feeling that we're going to have to start practicing being kind to actual people. What? It's true. Maybe they're in your homeschool co-op. Maybe you work with them. Maybe they're your neighbor. Maybe they're your brother-in-law or your stepmother or your in-laws. Or that guy who's going to show up at Thanksgiving, whatever his title is, and start to talk about things that he always talks about, and you absolutely cannot stand it. I told you it was a challenge. Whoever it is that the Lord highlights for you, you probably don't have to look too far. And you can begin to pray for them now. Not agenda prayers, like that they'd see the light and become more like you. Your goal is to not persuade them. The persuasion may happen, but it's not going to be because of your strong arguments against their position. In fact, let's start to pray that the Father's kindness will impact them in a way that brings more peace and wholeness to their life. My challenge to us is that before the end of this year, perhaps you would have gotten to know them enough through initial conversations, maybe some prolonged conversations, that you could actually invite them into your home for a meal. What? And the goal in that would actually be to simply hear their story. And so you'd have to actually ask them questions about their life, about their children, where they grew up, what they look forward to in life. These sorts of things that have nothing to do with political stance or cultural stance or religious stance, but have everything to do with life on the planet as a human being in the context of relationship with the people that they love, what they dream about, their hopes, their aspirations. Being nice to people is not conceding to their way. Can I say that? I mean, really, being nice to people, being kind, is not saying, look, I agree with everything you're about. It's not. However, part of being nice and being kind is not to, like, point out everything you don't like about them, right? It's actually to come to the realization that they have dreams, they desire love, they have family, they have struggles, they have hopes. And how kind of us to just invite that conversation to begin to happen. The only way that this will work is if you climb over your wall. You know, there's something that's very polarizing about our culture these days. It's been so growing more intensely in the political realm, and, you know, media has a lot to do with what we are presented. And social media makes a lot of that very immediate. And so we have the tendency, if we're not careful, to side on this side of the wall or this side of the wall. And it appears to me that the walls are getting taller. And so I'm actually wanting us as a community to learn how to climb some walls. I actually don't want us to buy into this dualistic sort of like us against them dynamic. I actually don't want us to buy into that. What I want us to understand is that our identity is firmly established in the heart of the Father, and we're kingdom people and we're ambassadors. And yes, there are ways that we have to be wise. Just as an ambassador in a foreign land would have their embassy, and that would be their place where they would find safety and solace, and they would be able to meet together, like I would say that this is very much like that. And there are ways for us to be wise, and yet our work is not in the four walls of that embassy. Our work is actually as an ambassador to influence the culture that we live in as a representative of the country that sent us, as the kingdom that sent us. And so we have to climb over those walls, and in order for this to work, we have to be willing to do that. And what we have to turn up the volume on is our empathy. Empathy. Would you be able to hear and possibly even feel what that other person, what their life is like? And what we have to turn down are all of our alarms. When someone says something that we don't like or that triggers us, can we rule our emotions in that space? And so we want to resist the urge to convince or to fix or to persuade, but simply to get to know them. And perhaps the greatest challenge of all is to, in turn, let them see and know you. So I did talk about a lot of this stuff a couple weeks ago. I'm just bringing it back because it's really important. But I want to expand this just a little bit because we have to remember 2 Corinthians 5:20 that we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So our purpose in life as ambassadors who represent the kingdom, which is everything that Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount, by the way, love your enemies, all that kind of fun stuff. We have to be willing to let that be the message that we're sending. So this was all written, you know, this thing about being ambassadors. Of course, we know that it was written by a man who in his younger years had been educated in the highest forms of religion in the Jewish tradition. His name was Saul, and he was perfect in his obedience to the law. And he was very ambitious. He was an ambitious leader for the Jewish religion who was actually persecuting Christians who were following Jesus. And then he met Jesus. Actually, can we say that Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, right? And so afterwards, Paul wrote that all of his training and all of his pedigree, all of his religious upbringing, all of his studies of philosophy and everything about, you know, life that he knew, it was all considered like junk compared to knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection. And so this was a man who was led by the Spirit to be a missionary. To actually, this is where it kind of ties back together to my questions. Because Paul, Saul who became Paul when he met Jesus, he was actually sent to a lot of different cities, a lot of different countries. And he was led by the Holy Spirit to go to these places, not on his own, but to really proclaim through his words and through his actions that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. That Jesus Christ is raised from the dead to offer a way back to God, forgiveness of sins and eternal life. So this was Paul's mission. It was a mission of reconciliation. It was a ministry of reconciling people back to their God. And so I want to pick up one of his sermons in Acts 17. He's in Athens, and all of the training and his education of his former life that he himself considered rubbish, God, in fact, uses that to enable Paul to stand amongst the brilliant thinkers and the philosophers of Greece. So here's kind of a point to be made, is that God didn't waste any of that. Not a single thing did God waste of Saul's former life. And you have to know that a man who's going to be so passionate about, you know, his beliefs that he would be willing to go and kill people, he is equally now passionate. It's the same value that was working in Saul before he met Christ. That same value is still at work, and yet it is being expressed in an entirely different way. So the thing that you might want to be like lashing out when you meet with another person who's very different than you, it might be that very thing that God converts into an expression of grace. We don't necessarily want people to dumb down. We want ourselves and other people to actually reorient our focus and to let the values that God has created in us to be expressed in a way that is life-giving. Can you go with me there? We don't know what God's going to do. I mean, if I had asked you to invite Saul to your house for dinner, yeah, you'd probably have a strong argument about that, against it. Just like Ananias was told by the Holy Spirit to go and pray for Saul. He didn't know the conversion experience yet. He hadn't heard the story. All he had was an impression of the Holy Spirit that there's a man on Straight Street. His name is Saul. And oh, by the way, he's the one who's killing people like you, Ananias. And I want you to go and be kind to him. I want you to pray for him. Oh my goodness, we do not know the stories behind the scenes. So Acts 17, Paul stands up. He says, "Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with the inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, and he has determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their inhabitants, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him to find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and breathe and we have our existence. And even some of your own poets have said that we also are his children. Being then the children of God, we ought not think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by art or the thought of a man. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance," I love that. Thank you, God, that you have overlooked my times of ignorance. "Having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, turn towards the gift of grace in Christ Jesus." Isn't that great? I mean, this guy was like standing up in front of some really high horsepower thinkers, real cultural agents, you know, of their day. And he was able to boldly and clearly say these things, not because he was trained to say these things, but it was his genuine heart conviction because of the experiences that he had had with Jesus that this was true. The main verse that I want to pull from Acts 17 is 26. Let me read this again. "He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they may seek God." That goes into verse 27 there, "that they may seek God." I believe it's Jesus who determines where you go and when, where you live and with whom. Jesus determines your sphere. And whether he sends you, or wherever he sends you, wherever you find yourself living, whether it's for a week or a few decades, remember Jeremiah 29:7, that we're to work for the peace and the prosperity of that city that Jesus has sent you, and to pray for it. For its welfare will determine your welfare. I mean, this year alone, we had the Schultzes who were in Mongolia. And some of you heard the stories of Ryan and just sharing the provision of God in that. Brianna, my daughter, was in Ukraine. This year, Sarah Ray was in Pakistan and in Africa. Kevin and Sandra, you just came back from Africa. You were in, what, Kenya? And Ethiopia. Ben and Shannon Weddle, they're in Burma right now. They're in Myanmar, living there with their little son, Loenkade. And he edits our podcast, so I just say it. We love you guys, Ben and Shannon. You don't have to edit that out. Val and Bob Snackenberg, they're currently in Europe. ministering to full-time missionaries who are with the Navigators. This year, we took a small group of middle school, high school students, and we actually drove into Wyoming to the Wind River Indian Reservation. And to be honest with you, it was reminiscent of a lot of third world countries that I've been in. And it's only 7 hours from here. As a fellowship, we've supported a house church in Myanmar for years. They care for 35 children, many of whom are truly orphaned. I'm going to have Joel throw up a couple of pictures here. The first picture that we're going to show you is actually the condition of their house about a month and a half ago. Do you remember when I said their house had termites? So this is where these kids live. And then last month during our communion Sunday, we took up an offering and we collected $580. Let's keep the next slide. There's the condition of their house. That's their roof. And it was beginning to dilapidate. Obviously, they had to take the ceiling off and that was exposed. Next slide. So there they are. They're working on that. They're trying to exterminate. They're trying to isolate what's going on. And David, who is a very interesting story. David was a young boy, probably about 14, 15 years old, when Cody's family went to Myanmar many years ago. And Cody became friends with David. David worked at the hotel where the Cormans were staying. David introduced the Corman family to his family, whose father actually was the pastor of this church. You see these little like threads that begin to weave. And so, next slide. So we gathered up $580. It's amazing what $580 could do in a place like Burma. Not only were they able to fix their roof, that's the new wood timbers that they had cut and put in there. Next slide. And to shore it up and to make, you know, make it clean again. Next slide. But they were also buying, they were able to buy a bunch of food. Okay? And so there's the kids. They're helping to unload the big carrots and the cabbage and all the food. Look at that guy. He's got a Spider-Man shirt on and everything. So great. Next slide. Before we go to the next slide, one of the things I've learned as I've gone to Burma a few times to be with these people is that they are people of prayer. And so here you see the kids. They're worshiping and they're praying. Next slide. I don't know if there's I'm just going to let the picture speak for itself. You don't pose this stuff. Actually, one of the slides has a whiteboard and it says, pray for, you can't really see it there, special prayer today, Pastor Chris and his family and what was formerly known as NCCF, now Emmaus. They pray for us. Isn't that wonderful? I think that's the last slide. There might be one more. I don't know. Is that the last one? Okay, that's it. Okay, the reason why I wanted to bring these slides up is just to give us a visual of, you know, this that happened a month ago turned into that. It's amazing to me just the relationship that God has forged between us, even though we're worlds apart, literally. And so I guess my encouragement again this morning was to lift our imaginations. Some of you, you've maybe never imagined yourself leaving the United States, or maybe you've never imagined yourself actually being of value as, like, you know, kind of like a minister of reconciliation. I just want to put that aside right now and just declare that you are. You're absolutely capable of being kind. You're absolutely capable of being the light of the world. I put this picture up here over the last couple of weeks intentionally. Sometimes I feel like the way that my brain works, it's a mixed blessing. Like I'm always thinking about stuff and I'm like, ooh, I want a picture of a city on a hill. And I want it to be artistic and I want it to match the colors in our space. I mean, who thinks of this stuff? I do. And I wanted that there because this, to me, this is like a picture of us. And I just want to bless you as a family. I just want to bless us to remember that we are a city on a hill. You know that verse comes from Jesus telling us that we are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. can't turn off all its lights. You guys are carriers of something beautiful and amazing. And so I so appreciated Brianna bringing that new song to us. Thank you, Mark and Christy, for kind of letting us move into that song about letting the light of God come. Can I just pray for you now as we close? Can you just stand with me? And I just want to pray for the light of Christ to fill you. Actually, he's already filled you. Okay, so maybe I'll pray that we would grow more aware of the just how bright and beautiful you really are. Jesus, I just want to ask for you to help us kind of lift our eyes out of our little microsphere. And maybe we have some old tapes that are just hounding us and diminishing us and telling us that we're not bright. And yet today you're reminding us that you don't waste a thing and that you bring us to places for a lot of times and purposes. And that purpose is for the ministry of reconciliation. So I just thank you, God, that you have reconciled us unto yourself through your Son and that you have made us light in this world. And I ask, Lord, that just as you're stirring some of us, Lord, you're awakening some of those promises that you've made maybe years and years ago about going somewhere, about doing something elsewhere. Lord, we cannot dismiss that. Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Well, it doesn't have to happen if you say no to it. I mean, God wants to stir us to say yes to the promises that he made, even if they are decades old. Do not let them die. Do not let those dreams die, people. The Lord put that in you for a reason. And the Lord has been doing stuff in your life ever since to prepare you and to prepare the people that he's bringing you to. Sometimes it's not always about you. Sometimes it's about the preparation of what's going on the other side of the story. So Lord, we just want to be patient and thank you that you remember the promises and you remember the dreams that you've put in us. You remember. We cannot let them die, Lord. We can let them mature and we can let them morph and we can let them be expressed in the way that you want them expressed, Lord, even though we have our preconceived ideas, but we want to be light in this world. So I bless each one of us here. I bless you to just grow more and more aware of the brightness of your life. You are so bright and so beautiful. Your spirit united with Christ is incredible and it's perfect. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the old has gone, and the old is going as we let go of it. And the new has come, and the new is coming as we receive it. And so, Lord, we receive what it is you're promising. We receive all the grace gifts that come in you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus, thank you for this morning. And I pray, Lord, that as we hunker down for a week of cold weather and snow, Lord, that you would be with us in a way that's very life-giving. I just want to ask for that. It just seems like we need that so desperately. So Jesus, thank you for this morning. And I pray this all in your name. Amen. Amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.